With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Handle on the news. Handle on the news.
I mean, I love listening to Handle. He is a unique individual, I got to tell you. Just being Handle on the news.
And now, here's Bill Handle.
Good morning, everybody. Bill Handle here and the morning crew on a Friday, March 5th. Good morning to Wayne, Alex, and John today. So we've got much going on. So let's start it. Handle on the news, Wayne, Michael, and me. Lead story. One earthquake. Now that is no small earthquake.
Yeah, I don't remember the last time I heard of an 8.
Yeah, no, this is those monstrous earthquakes. The only good news, if there is, I guess there is relatively good news. It was off of this group of islands, the Kermadec Islands, 600 miles from New Zealand. And how many people actually know the Kermadec Islands? No one I know has ever heard of it. And so it's out in the middle of nowhere. And it turned out there's virtually nobody affected. Tsunami warning in New Zealand. But you have tsunami warnings in which the water comes in and it's 2 feet. And then you have tsunami warnings, for example, Indonesia at Phuket. That wiped out 250,000 people.
Yeah, even on the other side of the Pacific, on the coast of South America, they told people to stay away from the beaches.
Yeah, just in case you just don't know how.
Well, there's tsunami warnings for Hawaii as well.
Yeah,
out of this, but luckily none of it apparently materialized. Thank goodness.
We haven't heard even any injuries, have we?
No.
Yeah,
that no, has a lot to do with a bunch of traffic jams in New Zealand because people were told to evacuate lower ground, and it did cause a little bit of chaos.
Yeah, they're even now still telling people, stay away from the beaches. Just stay away from the coast. Get up as high
as you
can. Although
the tsunami is basically over, but it's hard to injure people who aren't there. So that worked out, thank goodness.
Despite these changes for the threshold of people getting the next stimulus checks, if you got one in December, chances are you'll get one this time as well. We were looking at the numbers, my girlfriend and I, yesterday, and we're like, are we going to get any money this time?
Well, sure, because you work for iHeart, and you're well under the threshold.
And that was the conclusion we definitely came to, yeah.
100%. And this was a compromise. This is a tiny little compromise that Biden made with the Republicans, bringing down the threshold. And you're going to see in the Senate, there's going to be a fight here. Pass the House. Oh, I think it did. It pass the Senate already?
No, they're putting the finishing touches on it.
Yeah, but it looks like it's probably going to go, because it's going to go down 50-50 with the Vice President Kamala Harris.
Has Manchin said he's going to go for it?
Yeah, what about old Manchin?
Yeah, we don't know. I haven't heard about Manchin.
It's so funny because he's now the guy that you will always go to with this 50-50 situation. They said so. It's at 75,000 now. That you'll get the full thing, anything under, and between 75 and 100, it'll incrementally go down. And I think at 100, you get nothing.
Yeah, now that's 75,000 for a family of 12, if you're under a family 12, you probably won't get any money.
Yeah, that's just you. And what is it? They said under this current Senate bill, the way it is right now, about little less than half of households will get these direct payments.
But 98% of the households that got the last check will get something.
Yeah, so.
So it really is a minor reduction. And what's going to happen
now? Half
of
the country's not getting anything? Or no, half of households, I suppose. But it's 158 million households.
Well, yeah, 100. Well, you've got a family of, if you've got a couple, it's up to, what, $150,000? They get their checks. And so it's still, most people don't make that kind of money in the United States. So it was Republicans fighting for a very small number of people.
Yay! Yeah.
And just one point of clarification. The old plan was it cut off completely at $100,000 income. Now the compromise is it'll cut off completely at $80,000. So literally $75,000 you get the full check, and $5,000 more you get nothing.
Did they change that? I mean, so originally there was no cap at all, right? And then they changed it to the 75.
No, there was a cap.
No, there was always a cap. It was more generous, though. And then the Senate version knocks down the threshold after which you get nothing to $80,000.
So it's really not a graduated system of payments.
Where no, it's a pretty sharp. It's a pretty sharp drop from you get the full check to you don't get anything. Okay. Well, what do you do when you don't have enough doses of the vaccine to keep all your appointments at the vaccine sites that you have? You open another vaccine site. Of course that's what you do. Mayor Eric Garcetti, he's the mayor of Los Angeles, in case somebody's wondering. He announced there'll be another city-run vaccine site at University Park, which is basically USC. And Uber is going to provide 15,000 free rides to South LA residents to pick them up and take them to get a vaccine.
Which is pretty neat.
20,000 additional rides at half off.
Yeah, that's very nice. Now, that's only going there.
I think they'll take you. You're saying they won't take you back home?
Oh, they will for a premium price.
Oh, man,
no,
I see.
I'm just kidding, obviously. but that's there's a lot of cooperation being done where major corporations are jumping in and making this happen. And one of the things that makes sense about USC opening up University Park is because there will be enough vaccines. Yesterday, it was north of 2 million vaccinations. So it is going up. And this is just another site. And the more sites, the merrier, making it as easy as possible. NSC is in one of those zip codes in which you have a lot of minority communities that live there that are pretty poor. I mean, SC is this little island in the middle of actually South Central.
Some states are doing away with masks entirely, while California apparently is doubling up.
I'm about to double up. You know I'm
the health department in California yesterday started recommending residents double mask to better protect from the spread of the coronavirus.
Well, we've known that for a while, but this is, only double masks, but, tighten it up, make sure.
Yeah.
You double knot it, so it's jammed against your ear. Don't you find wearing a mask painful on the ear, the back of the ear anyway?
You got to get the right kind of mask that have the adjustable straps behind the ears.
But even then, I find those painful.
Because they're supposed to be snug. So it's like it's going to have to pull on your ear because it needs to be really tight on your face. Yeah, but it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You got to get foam. You got to get wedges of foam and jam them behind your ears and put the loops over the foam.
Why don't we just get the mask to tie all the way around your head?
Yeah, you see those occasionally where there's the double strap where it doesn't go behind the ear. One goes under the ear and goes around your head, and the other one goes over, and your ears aren't even touched. And that's easy to tighten those up. I don't know why those are not available or popular.
They're harder to take off, like just in a quick situation, because you got to sit there and pull it over your head as opposed to just pulling it off your ear. So it's a convenience thing, I think, to a large part.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we have more Handle on the News. Michael Crozier. Good morning, everybody. Handle here on a Friday morning, March the 5th. More Handle on the News. Michael Crozier. Sorry about
that. Hey, now,
Michael.
That's a new one.
Yeah, in for Jennifer this morning, Wayne Resnick, and me.
All right. Well, there was a lawsuit against the state of California over a ban on indoor sports for the kids. Two lawyers say the state is going to settle that lawsuit and indoor youth sports will return.
Y'all ready for this?
Most of this information about what's going to happen are coming from the two attorneys behind the lawsuit. The state has only said they will issue some new guidance about all of this soon, but the idea is the state said they would allow outdoor sports to resume. Now they're going to allow indoor sports to resume under the same case level thresholds that apply to outdoor sports.
Which makes
sense.
And
similar testing requirements for participation.
Right, and that's if it's transmissibility. And the state would have won this one if they could have provided medical evidence that indoor sports were inherently more dangerous, and they couldn't.
No. Now, here's the wrinkle, though. As with a lot of things, this is the state saying, okay, we will have relaxed guidelines. Counties can still have stricter guidelines. And these two lawyers are already saying, when the state issues their guidance and indoor youth sports is back, if a county decides they're not going to allow it, we're going to sue them next. So there'll be more litigation. Because I don't know, you think L.A. County's going to say, fine,
no,
we'll open up indoor sports? I don't know.
No.
So they're open while this litigation takes place, or?
Well, what would happen? Here's what would happen. A particular county now would say, we understand the state allows it.
Yeah.
Wrestling, whatever. We're not going to allow it. Let's say it's L.A. County. We're not going to allow it. So you can't have it. These guys file a lawsuit against the county.
And the judge will not enjoin the county from enforcing its own medical rules.
It'll be banned until they reach a settlement or something else.
Or pending, so then nobody's actually taking place. It's not taking place. Like in L.A. County, if you're saying they're saying no despite the state saying yes.
And then if they do. We don't know yet, if they do. Yeah.
And the judge is not going to say, while we're waiting, go ahead and open the sports. Yeah, yeah. It doesn't work that way. It's going to be the other way.
A new report says aides for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo changed up the number of deaths in nursing homes.
Don't let us get sick.
Yeah, this is a problem for Cuomo.
So this is a report that came out in July, and apparently the secretary to the governor pushed state health officials to edit the report so that only residents who died inside those long-term care facilities, not those who became ill there and later died at the hospital, were counted.
7:30, I'm going to dive into this a little bit deeper, and because there are a lot of pieces on this one, none of them that Cuomo likes.
Yeah, this every day it just seems like another thing on Cuomo.
Hey, some great apes at the San Diego Zoo are the first non-humans to get COVID vaccines. Four orangutans, five bonobos. Because they had an outbreak of COVID-19 over there, and you had these great apes sniffling, coughing, runny noses, lethargy. They're all getting better.
Yeah, no,
but they were able to get from, and obviously they're not getting Pfizer, they're not getting Merck, they're not getting J&J, they're getting special animal-based vaccines from a company called Zotys.
That specializes in
animal vaccine. That's what they do.
Wasn't there one gorilla that died? Was that in San Diego?
I don't think died of COVID. I haven't heard that. But I also know that minks to tigers have also gotten the virus. I don't know of any animal that has actually perished because of the virus. So I'm assuming that transmissibility is far less prevalent and the symptoms are less prevalent. That's a guess at this point, but it seems to be going off in that direction.
I would tend to think that humans have a lower threshold for succumbing, or a higher threshold for succumbing to things like this than animals anyways, because they're out there in the wild. Generally, they're having to deal with far more things than we do. So their systems are probably,
I think
we're probably more susceptible to perishing from COVID in general than the animal population is,
especially in a nursing home in New York.
The National Guard's going to hang in D.C. for two more months. So the Capitol Police are expected to ask for a 60-day extension of the National Guard there. They're expected to ask the Pentagon, but that official request hasn't come yet. They're down to 5,000 National Guard members in D.C. That was at a peak of 25 when the inauguration took place January 20th.
Pick your reality. Reality one. there's really no need for this. There's no need for the Capitol to be fenced off. There's no need to keep the National Guard there. And they're all just overreacting. That's reality one. Reality two, this is how dangerous this country has become. This is how divided, angry, and prone to violence the country has become, that you have to do these things to be prudent.
Now, Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma, Republican, who sits on the Armed Services Committee, is saying you do not want military at the Capitol. He's one of those who say we don't want military because we can do this with civilian police. Of course, until you can't.
Until you couldn't.
Yeah, right.
Well, documented.
Well, obviously, it was very poor planning the first time around, and it should have been anticipated. Maybe not. Maybe yes. But I don't think you're going to see the same thing happen again for a bunch of reasons. Political reasons. Those people who attacked the Capitol, I don't think any of them any longer feel that President Trump is going to make his triumphal return to take the presidency back. I think even the most ardent believers in that understand that that's not going to happen. So this thing is calmed down. You're not going to see the president saying, let's march to the Capitol together. I'll be with you and hundreds of thousands of people there. It's just not going to happen. And the oomph has gone out. The air has gone out of the tire. For sure.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back, everybody. Bill Handel here on a Friday, March 5th, as we continue with Handel on the News. Michael Crozier in for Jen today, Wayne and me.
And some criminal charges that were thrown out against some fellas for violating the Anti-Riot Act have been reinstated by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The case riot here in Southern California, what happens is they were charged with violating the Anti-Riot Act, and then federal judge here in Orange County, Cormac Carney, said this law is unconstitutional because it covers too much stuff, including just saying some things that really aren't that dangerous. The Ninth Circuit said, no, the law's mostly fine. They're going to have to stand trial.
And it makes sense because what the lower court said was effectively you have free speech. And the upper court said, are you really arguing you have to wait until there's absolutely until someone is physically injured or have property destroyed before the authorities can do anything? Do people have to stand back? And so it's a question of threshold, obviously, where the First Amendment starts and stops. But this is can you yell fire in a crowded theater?
Well, but see, the thing is, it's more than that. These are guys associated with this Rise Above movement. And what they're accused of is not just talking smack, but getting together, training for combat, and then going around to demonstrations in Berkeley, in San Bernardino, in Huntington Beach, and in some cases, getting involved in actual violence against counter-protesters.
Yeah. That one, once they crossed the line into violence, had they not engaged in violence, had they just trained, had they worn tactical gear, I don't think that would have met the threshold.
Do you think that threshold or that line is going to start moving back because of all this now? Like they're going to consider just training and not actually going out there as more of a threat now than they had in the past?
No, I don't think so.
Of just the speech, and like you say, then they go into the training, yeah, and then they go out and about.
No, I think it stays the same. I don't think you're going to see much of a change in this.
Tent villages in San Francisco are costing a lot of money. But not as much as it would if they were housing them in hotels. So they've been paying just over $16 million since the pandemic began last year, housing homeless in these what they're calling safe sleeping villages. There's 262 tents that's holding more than 300 people. And that $16 million, they're not going to get back from the feds because it's not the same as the hotels that they've been putting them in.
Yeah, well, there's programs to reimburse the city for the hotels. This is these tent villages. And what makes it so expensive, even though tents are relatively cheap, especially when they have a sale at REI, you can get a few tents for very little money, is what they have to deal with. Bathrooms they have to put up, showers they have to put up, meals they have to supply, security they have to supply.
So could they take this tent program, can they sort of reallocate it to fall under these parameters that it would be reimbursed as a federal thing?
I think they just have to meet criteria the federal government sets up. The federal government says if you do this, and this, then you're able to be reimbursed.
And there's no exemption for a pandemic per se?
Not at this point. Not yet. And
no.
So
this is a real window. This is a real window into the phenomenon of, let's say you have a city like San Francisco, and I think similar thinking applies in LA. We want to have these programs and they cost a lot of money. Wait a minute. We're going to actually have to pay for them. We're not going to get money from the feds to pay for them. Now we have a problem with spending all this money. In other words, if we're spending someone else's money, it's great. If it's our money, now we have to rethink spending that money.
So there's no incentive for them to do anything if it's not the full boat that the feds want.
Well, that's the thinking. That's why suddenly everybody's pointing to this relatively minor expenditure.
Yeah.
They spend $300 million a year on homelessness in San Francisco. This is $16 million. But because they can't get reimbursed by the feds, all of a sudden, everybody's upset about the spending. A man is in stable condition after being shot by Southgate police officers. They thought he had a gun. Here's what happened. This guy's walking down a street and he's yelling. An officer approaches him. He walks away in another direction. There's another cop over there. Then he kind of ran away. Then he began walking towards one of the officers. Then he raised his hand. They're saying he raised his hand and pointed his fingers as if he was holding a gun. They thought he had a gun. He supposedly reached behind his back as if he were drawing a gun. They fired. Luckily, he's in stable condition, so he probably will be okay. And this goes back to, we were talking yesterday, Bill, Congress passed that sweeping George Floyd Justice and Policing Act, right? And remember when I said the big surprise is none of it really addresses the main problem? Here's a good example. You have a guy, it starts with a guy walking up and down the street yelling. That's a mental health problem, almost certainly. It turned into a violent police confrontation. One of the keys to police reform is, when do the police engage in this manner in the first place, as opposed to a completely different way of dealing with a guy who's walking up and down the street yelling and not doing anything else at that point? And there'll probably be a lawsuit too.
Yep. We're not hearing Handle.
Yeah, Bill, we're not hearing.
Here we go. Sorry about that.
Yeah, there you turned your mic off.
Yeah, I did turn my mic off. And again, reasonable threat. And if you're looking at someone pointing a finger at you, that can't be too difficult to discern that that's not a weapon. I think the point here is he reached behind his back, and I think that's going to be the determinative factor, especially when he points his finger as if he has a weapon. They tell him to stop. They gave him verbal commands, believing he had a gun. So it's going to boil down to, of course, what was going through the cop's mind. Of course, the family said they should have treated him with respect. They should have dealt with him as a mental health patient. It's kind of hard for a cop to make that determination under these circumstances. There's nothing that 100 men or more could ever do. I've been- here on a Friday, March 5th. The Pope is in Iraq. And there's a story. Lots and lots of security. You know, there are four Christians left in Iraq.
That many?
Oh, yeah. I mean, on a good day. That's when everybody's healthy. I mean, he's going to be... I think the entire country has 250,000, and they used to have millions. It's a very interesting visit. Let's finish up handle on the news. Michael Crozier in for Jennifer, Wayne Resnick, and me.
Did an OC Sheriff Patrol vehicle run over a homeless man or not? Maybe. Well, we're getting different stories from people that say they saw it and some that didn't. Apparently, guys like this, Sean Danbury says he ended up seeing a patrol vehicle run over a sleeping homeless man and left that victim writhing on the pavement. And at first, these guys said you could see his body jerk and other arm flinging around and stuff like that. But apparently, other witnesses say no, they assumed that the vehicle just bounced. They didn't see a body get run over. Paramedics checked him out, said that he was taken to the hospital. Doctors, x-rays, they were not able to find any injuries that were consistent with being run over.
Hey, you would think that it would be fairly easy to ascertain medically if an SUV rolled over on your head.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think so?
Yeah. I would guess that any camera that was on in the vehicle probably saw it just do a bump, not necessarily seeing it run over.
And the two guys' witnesses are still holding to their story. They're steadfast.
Well, then, could it be that the vehicle ran the guy over and the guy is like a Superman?
It could be.
And it ran over him and it didn't hurt him in any visible way.
And the cop came back, took a look, and then left again, according to the witness. Okay.
$15 million claim against the California Highway Patrol in a shooting. Crozier, you're reporting on this in KFI News as well. This family is driving on the I-10 in Upland, and the guy starts having some kind of mental health crisis and cutting himself with a knife. He was a Marine veteran. His wife said he had PTSD. She calls 911. And then apparently, you know, he gets out of the car and he starts coming towards the officers and not dropping the knife that he had. That is the CHP's version of what happened here. The family's saying, oh, it's the CHP's fault because all they had to do was stand back and wait for the professionals to come. Once again, you see, you have a police shooting that starts with what seems to be a mental health problem. Although in this case, there was an actual weapon.
And the evidence, or at least according to CHP, he is moving towards the police with a knife. At some point, the police are able to shoot. And I don't know if the line is crossed, because do you wait until backup shows up, mental health practitioner? Do you back up and use a taser under those circumstances? I don't know what the training is now, what the procedure is now under these circumstances. It's getting harder and harder for the police to engage in any kind of a altercation where a shot is being fired. Make it to the point where unless the suspect takes out a 50 caliber machine gun and actually starts shooting, that's the only time it's going to be justified. This is a real tricky situation where the line is. We know it's moving, and we know it's moving very quickly. In terms of the mental health, well, we know you've got the activists that are saying there should be no police there at all.
Do you see a meeting right at some point, in agreement on at least the part where they say, well, just stand back and wait for other professionals or whatever to arrive?
Yeah, there's already post-academy training about what to do when you have what appears to be a mental health crisis. And then the fact is that on the street, that training is not often followed. But there are so many subtleties that you have to consider.
Yeah.
Is there a weapon or is there not a weapon? That can make all the difference in the world. Is there any compliance with verbal commands or is there no compliance with verbal commands? That can make a massive difference. Yeah. So, and Bill, as you pointed out, not just in public sentiment is it moving, it's moving in the courts, where you start to see a lot of cases like this where the courts are now focusing heavily on, did you have any reason to suspect this person of committing a crime when you became more aggressive as police officers?
When we come back, California, and we've been carrying this story for days now, all week, promising equity in vaccines. And we're moving in that direction, aren't we? A couple of glitches that are coming up and how it's being done. And I'll dive into that when we come back. This is KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.